colors, the geometric flag of all the compound architects. So goodbye color. And functional became one of the several euphemisms for non-bourgeois. For example, there was a now inviolable theory of the flat roof and the sheer facade. It had been decided in the battle of the theories that pitched roofs and cornices represented the crowns of the old nobility, which the bourgeois spent most of its time imitating. Therefore, henceforth, there would be only flat roofs making clean right angles with the building facades. No cornices, no overhanging eaves. These young architects were working and building in cities like Berlin, Weimar, Rotterdam, Amsterdam, about the 52nd parallel, which also runs through Canada, the Aleutian Islands, Moscow, and Siberia. As this swath of the globe, with enough snow and rain to stop an army, as history has shown more than once, there was no such thing as a functional flat roof and a functional facade with no overhang. In fact, it's difficult to imagine where such a building might be considered functional outside the painted desert. As you might imagine.
Hello, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills beyond and beyond. Please stay tuned to the Doctor's Inn. We'll be right back.
But for our final item of the day, we go to Chapter 3. Well, if we have this.
Well, hello, this is Dr. Kenneth Logan, and the Doctor's Inn. You had a little dead air there. Hope you enjoyed yourselves. Hey, I want you to know that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. I also would like you to know that the Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Deborah Lucero and Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture, producing community festivals and events including Artoberfest, the True North Tour, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Hot Yoga Club, Chico, with classes for all ability levels. Hot yoga is a proven way to reduce stress, lose weight, and develop strength and flexibility. Hot Yoga Club, Chico, has classes 7 days a week at 1140 Mangrove. To see a class schedule and learn more, you can go to hotyogaclub.com or by calling 321-0611. So, let's hear a little music. It's called "The Doctor" by Loudon Wainwright III. No. We're going to hear Beat and Holler off Beat and Holler by Mama Kin.
two, three, four, one, two. I'm gonna beat at your window and holler at your door. I won't rest now while you play small. I'm gonna beat at your window and holler at your door. I won't stand down till you stand tall. I'm not frightened, yeah, I'm not afraid. I don't want my life in shackles of shame. I'll be standing here day and night till you're brave enough to be who you might. I'm gonna beat at your window and holler at your door. I won't rest now till you stand tall. I'm gonna beat at your window and holler at your door. I won't stand down till you stand tall. You can turn away and you can shield your eyes, but boy, oh, you're in for a big surprise. You think I'm your enemy and now I'm no fun, but once you let me in, your house will shine for the sun.
So again, this is Dr. Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn. So today's show, let me give you a little outline of what I plan to do on the show today. The guest today will be Dr. Kenneth Logan. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a family practitioner in town. And I do the show, the Doctor's Inn, every third Thursday of the month, 6 to 7 in the evening. And what I like to do is present information about health or medical subjects. I want you to know as a listener that I do like to hear from you. If there are subjects or guests that you would like me to have on the show, I would like you to let me know. And how to let me know would be for you to email me. And my email address, please, is klogan.md@yahoo.com. And K as in the letter K. So K-L-O-G-A-N, K Logan, M-D at yahoo.com. And please let me know what you'd like to hear about, and I'll work on that. So an overview of today's show. First of all, let me tell you, at the end of the show, at the end of the hour, I'm gonna give you a little update from Butte County Public Health Department. They have a couple things that they think would be important for you, the listener, to know. And I'm honored to give you that information. Later in the show, and then the bulk of the show is going to be about these things. About a lady in the past named Rachel Carson and the book Silent Spring. And specifically about pesticides and other contaminants in our environment. And I'm going to break from that and talk about something that is in her book and related to some of those products in the environment, and that is cancer. And then I will do a fair amount on cancer. And then we'll talk about the earth. I'll be talking about toxins called pesticides. And then, oddly enough, towards the end of the show, I'm going to talk about a medical term called narcissism. And you'd say, narcissism, what the heck's that got to do with any of this? And you'll find out if you listen. Before we jump into issues of pesticides and contaminants and how they can affect us, and specifically cancer-related, I want to briefly do a little blurb on diabetes. Diabetes just happens to be something that I have some particular interest in. But I just thought periodically I'd let you know of updates in treatment. And currently, I think it's important for everybody or you or your loved ones or anybody you know or care for with type 1 diabetes that on the market now are continuous glucose sensors. And we sometimes call them CGMs, but what they amount to is a way of knowing what someone's sugar level or glucose level is, for instance, every 5 minutes, and helps them with maintaining a safe zone of glucose level. I wanted you to know that, in my opinion, at this point in the year 2019, it's actually standard of care. I'm making that statement. It's a standard of care now in type 1 diabetes for a patient to have a continuous glucose sensor. And on a future show, I can tell you more about that. But so stay tuned if you want. Okay. So now to the world that Rachel Carson talked about in her book, The Silent Spring. And I'm going to tell you more about Rachel Carson and her books in a few minutes. But I'm going to start with this fact that I'm a doctor. I'm a medical doctor, and I grew up in this medical business or in this medical work with the notion that doctor means teacher. And so I don't mean to claim that I'm an expert on anything else, but it's part of my job as a doctor to encourage and support the sustainability of our health as human beings, and to encourage and support protection from disease, that is, prevention of disease in human beings. And part of that prevention and protection lies in the realm of cancer, in my mind. And today, what I specifically mean has to do with the realm of identifying and regulating cancer-causing agents around you, around us, in our environment, etc. And we call those carcinogens. That's just a terminology for that. Things that can lead to causing cancer. Now, cancer itself, as you may know, is a multifactorial problem. That is, there's many factors at play into the, not only multiple factors relative to detection and treatment, multiple kinds of cancer, but also there's multiple factors relative to causes or etiologies of the cancer, many of which we still don't understand or have knowledge of. However, there are causative factors that we do have knowledge of, and these are the man-made factors or causes of cancer. And again, those are the things we call carcinogens. These are things that we all need to know about. We doctors and other healthcare providers, healthcare professionals, need to share that information with all of us. This needs to be shared information. There should be no questions. These carcinogens are 100%, the man-made carcinogens are within 100% control of we human beings. And we're in charge, and it's our responsibility and my responsibility as a doctor and as a fellow human being to be upfront with the information about what these are. We humans are responsible for these human-made etiologies or causes of cancer, and we humans, including doctors, are responsible for dealing with the specific causes, identifying them, sharing the information with the public, and then we, as the public, getting rid of these cancer-causing agents from our immediate environment. That's my opinion. I don't know why anybody would disagree with that, ever. So, first of all, I want to share some facts about cancer. Just, there's a whole variety of cancers, but know this about the importance of cancer. 1 out of 4 people will die from cancer. It's second only in cause of cancer. It's second only to cardiovascular disease. And these cancers can occur in any age group, that is, children through elderly. And in the Office of Vital Statistics in the year 1900, 4% of U.S. deaths were cancer caused, according to the Office of Vital Statistics. That same office, by 1958, found there to be 15% of U.S. deaths were caused by cancer. So, obviously, rising over the century, that century, and currently. In 1962, for instance, more children died from cancer than any other cause. I'm not sure about that, how that sits currently, but that's a staggering fact in my mind. And back in the 1960s, leukemia, for instance, was rising worldwide, rising, 4 to 5% every year. So getting more common. The International Agency for Research on Cancer and the National Cancer Institute state that worldwide in 2012, there were 14 million new cancer diagnoses made and a little over 8 million cancer deaths that year. Worldwide, 2018, that had popped up to 17 million new cancer diagnoses and almost 10 million cancer deaths. So occurrence of cancer relative to carcinogens as a cause, by the way, may take many years to become apparent and present as a cancer-causing factor in a person's life. In other words, it may take many years after exposure. And knowing about the carcinogen cause may be difficult to know, in other words, which things are carcinogens. As much of our exposure to carcinogens is what we call cumulative. In other words, small exposures repetitively over years. It's not like it truly happens in acute cases too, where, say, farm laborers get a sudden mega exposure to a pesticide and have cancer problems acutely. But that's not the usual. The usual the rest of the world, is this cumulative little by little exposure over our lifetime, and it's additive. In other words, these are additional exposures that add to each other over the years. As I'll tell you later, many of these pesticides, for instance, can be stored in the fat storage areas of our body and then build up. DDT was a perfect example of that. Build up, and then later on down the line cause the problems in the body. As we know in science, sometimes carcinogens type of activity is not defined by just one product, one carcinogen either. Sometimes it takes combinations of these products, these chemicals, these carcinogens, in order for them to gang up on the human and give them cancer at some point in their life. These are facts that we all need to know. And so now some more definitions. Carcinogens. Okay, I already told you that indeed they are chemicals or other products that can do things to the body in ways that cause cancer of one type or another to happen to the body. That's what a carcinogen is. Toxins. I wanted us to be on the same page with the word toxin means. Toxin means a poison. And the reason I bring up that term now is because the bulk of this carcinogen issue that I'm talking about today has to do with pesticides. And pesticides, by definition, are toxins. They are toxins, which means they kill or make dysfunctional, in one way or another, living organisms. That's what pesticides are. And they do that. Pesticides is the realm of herbicides, such as Roundup, the glyphosates, which affect plants. But by the way, herbicides, insecticides that kill insects, and fungicides that kill fungi. But know this. As a scientist, I know this. And as human beings, I want you to know this. It is very seldom, if ever, that a toxin or a pesticide, be it a herbicide like Roundup, or be it a insecticide like DDT, or a fungicide, rarely would they only affect one organism. That's odd. As a matter of fact, I'm not aware of that fact. I'm not aware, and Rachel Carson was not aware of any specific pesticides that are only going to affect one organism. They don't work that way. They do zero in on certain organisms, or you know, insects, plants, or funguses, but they affect others as well. That's a fact. That's a scientific fact. We all know that in the science business. In Canada, there's a journal called Canadian Family Physician. And this article I looked up, Canadians, you got to love them Canadians. I looked up this on the internet in the area of pesticides, and the Canadian Family Physician, which is a journal from the College of the Family Physicians of Canada, a national organization in Canada, the article is called Cancer Health Effects of Pesticides. Now, doesn't that sound like an informative article? And don't you just open your American Medical Association information every day and find this kind of stuff? No, you don't. I don't. I was happy to see that the Canadian Family Physician Journal took that step. Granted, it was in 2007, but helpful information. What they did was something responsible as physicians. They did a systematic review of research articles, mainly, that had been done specifically at research that had been done looking towards or for association between pesticide use and exposure and various kinds of cancer. Sounds rather responsible. Out of that, when I perused that article, there's a few bits of information that I think I want you to know. And this is old information. This is 2007 information. There may be more updated information currently. But this is important stuff. Listen to this. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. You know, remember, lymphoma is a cancer of blood cell origin. It's indeed a cancer. It kills people. Remember, that's the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is the cancer that Roundup has, I'll tell you about more about, but there's at least two cases that have been adjudicated as Roundup-caused non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and Monsanto, which is now owned by Bayer pharmaceutical company, had to pay reparations for that to those people. Anyway, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, 10 of the 23 studies that they found that were looking for a pesticide exposure use association were positive. So just about half, a little under half of the studies said yes, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is often caused by pesticide use or exposure. Leukemia, another blood cell cancer, even in kids, remember. The eight case-controlled studies that they found that were specifically looking for pesticide use and exposure association with leukemia were all eight of them were found to have positive pesticide association. Breast cancer. Six studies were found that, looking at pesticide use and exposure for associated breast cancer. Of those six studies that they found, five of them confirmed positive pesticide association with breast cancer cause. Pancreatic cancer. You know how pancreatic cancer is horrible. Thank goodness it's not real common, but it's deadly. Almost 100% death. I have a patient right now with that. And three studies they found that indeed looked at association between pesticide use, exposure, and pancreatic cancer. All three were found to be a positive association with pesticide use or exposure. So, these are facts that we doctors should not ignore. We, the public, should not ignore. And I'll talk to you later about who else should not be ignoring this. Pesticide use in the United States. Let's just give you a little hint of how that's been going. In 1947, in the United States, 124 million pounds of pesticides were used. In 1960, that had nearly more than quadrupled to 638 million pounds used of pesticides in the United States in 1960. Currently, we're up to 1 billion pounds of pesticide use in the United States. And by the way, residues are found in up to 70% of produce sold in the U.S. Residues, in other words, small amounts, still detectable small amounts of pesticides found on 70% of produce in the United States by some accountings. And I suspect that's not all accountings. That speaks to this. Eat organically. Eat and buy organic foods, fruits and vegetables and other foods, and grow organically. All right. Now let me talk just a little bit briefly again about the Roundup or glyphosate controversy. I'm just going to repeat that there were have been two profile cases recently to date where Monsanto, or Bayer Pharmaceutical Company, has been found liable for the cause, probable cause, of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in two cases. And that's been adjudicated in court. I also found out Proposition 65 in California. Now, I was ignorant to that, but apparently we have in California Proposition 65. Apparently that's been passed in our state that states that Roundup glyphosate is to be added to the list of known carcinogens and requires, therefore, that product labeling warnings occur that state that on anything that has glyphosate, or which is Roundup, in it. That's the law in California. However, the administrator, current administrator of our EPA, which is actually called the Environmental Protection Agency, Andrew Wheeler, has been quoted just recently, as saying, quote, "We will not allow California's flawed program to dictate federal policy," end of quote. In other words, he's saying no to the listing, at least from a federal standpoint, of glyphosate as a carcinogen on the products. And remember, he's the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, and you would think, no, he's acting like he's the administrator of the Pesticide Protections Agency. And I would say, sure seems like it to me, too. He's supposed to be working for we, the people, not them, the pesticide corporations. That young man, Andrew Wheeler, needs to find another job. And just to let you know, the European Union has banned some pesticides that totally remain in use in the United States. So they're a little more human-oriented and wiser in the European Union and less puppeted by industry such as the pesticide industry that we are in our country. Hey, I already told you that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily... they're my opinions. I guess you're finding that out. Now, I want to break now to talk about Rachel Carson. And the reason I bring her up is she is first of all, she was born in 1907. She died of breast cancer at the age of 56 in 1964. She was a zoologist, in other words, a studier of animals, mainly sea life, but other animals. She was an author, and she was a social activist. And her book of most renowned is Silent Spring. And I think that was in 1962. And I think that should be required reading for all human beings, including youth in our country. She's a good author. She did a lot of research. She was a caring individual. She had some other books like Under the Sea, Wind, Sea Around Us, and Edge of the Sea. She has her master's in zoology from Johns Hopkins, after first graduating from Pennsylvania College of Women for Women. She was, in 1936, the editor-in-chief of all the publications for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and she even has testified in Congress in 1963 after her book was Silent Spring was published. Here's a quote from her. Underlying all of these problems of introducing contamination into our world is the question of moral responsibility. Responsibility not only to our own generation, but to those of the future. So in 1962, when she wrote this book, there was a big boom in pesticide industry coming out of World War II because of some of the research that was done. It's a long story, but it includes DDT used on soldiers in a powder form, which is better than a liquid oil form, but nonetheless. And it appears that the pesticide industry began ramping up during and surely right after World War II. The use of pesticides, these toxins, while not only making those industrialists wealthy, began keenly zeroing in on how they could bring more wealth to the manufacturers, but also, hopefully, to make big industry agriculture more wealthy as well. These times were blinded from the looking or studying of the effects of these toxins, these pesticides, on we, the innocent bystanders. The casualties to the myriad of other living organisms, plants, including beneficial bacteria, animals, including human beings. This balance of millions of years that it took for millions of years for this balance of biodiversity and organisms in this world just ignored for money reasons. The selling of these products and the boosting of agribusiness output reasons. Greed, self-centered, and here's the word I'm going to talk more about later, narcissistic species that we are, human beings. Us as humans thinking the world is ours to alter and destroy, if need be, for our own misguided good and greed. Well, I will tell you that some of the problems that have come up relative to research over the years relative to the control of pests has been the fact that the money has been gone into where the money is and where the money is going to be made, and that is in chemical products. So the entomologists and other scientists were not they were going where the money was. Who was going to pay them? Well, industry was going to pay them. So my point is that Rachel Carson in her book points out a multitude of ways that insects and other organisms can be dealt with in a non-chemical way, and part of it includes biodiversity way. It's excellent reading, but that's not where the money is. And I'm going to get back to narcissism and greed towards the end of the hour. But the other thing about that Rachel Carson brought up in her book has to do with cancer-causing agents. Not only the pesticides themselves, but and then I bring up the fact that something that she wasn't talking much about, and that's the plastics, off-gassing of plastic products that are now seemingly carcinogenic that we're exposed to now. These are the things that we need to pay attention to. And I already told you that many of these are affecting us in multiple exposures. They accumulate in our fat deposits. They come and haunt us later in our life. Cancer, as you know, is an evil entity. I already told you that one in four of us are going to die from that. It's difficult to treat. And by the way, speaking of money, the money that goes, I'm telling you this, as a physician, I know these things from experience. The money for cancer research, where does it go? Well, the money is in searching for cancer remedies. In other words, products or chemicals or treatments that we want. True that. If I got cancer, I'd like to be treated to get rid of it. But not nearly in any way, shape, or form significantly to compare to the studies that of what is causing cancers, for instance, in our environment, and what to do about it and how to get rid of these things. That is not a moneyed thing. That's the opposite. And so it's that's not where the grant money goes. It's unfortunate. It needs to go there, though. So, let's see. Let me now. Now I'm going to skip into this issue about the Earth developing over millions of years in this balance, natural balance of biodiversity. It's so important. It took millions of years to get this way and to stabilize. Now, all of a sudden, over the last 1 to 2 centuries, we as human beings have begun to interfere with this long-established environment. And it's ramping, and that interference ramping up in a speed and severity most recently of significance, altering this balance of these natural balance of and biodiversity in this world that's taken millions of years to establish and stabilize as. Many man-made facts are at play relative to the interference with the natural world. Partly our population being large, is human population on the world, is one factor. However, the most destructive forces come from man's creating of environmental toxins, again in a rapidly growing fashion of toxins production, use, and distribution, leading to the present presence in our immediate environment, everywhere on this planet. And by everywhere, I mean everywhere, from the all parts of the world, the most remote Arctic islands to everywhere. This presence of toxins and rapid growth in the presence is not sustainable from the standpoint of life on Earth. That's an indisputable fact. We all know this, especially those of us who work in the realms of science and health and medicine, looking at this situation and subject with open eyes right in front of our faces in an honest and caring about our future way is necessary and essential for the true survival of life on this planet. Allowing ourselves to be blinded from this reality is, of course, not healthy. It's not healthy for us. It's not healthy for our children. It's not healthy for our grandchildren and future generations, period. I have grandchildren, 2 grandchildren, and I worry about their world, their future. So why are we blinded relative to man's ongoing Earth destructiveness? Well, taking as a fact, this is mankind doing what he or she pleases with for short-sighted benefits only. Let me, therefore, as a medical doctor, discuss a word with you now. And that word is a medical term that we use sometimes when we talk and deal with certain patients. And that word is narcissism. Now, narcissism is a word or a title that's taken a place of prominence in recent years, especially in the era of Trump administration. I'll tell you a little bit more why that is in a minute, of course. But let me define the term narcissism. It's a term that describes a characteristic that's truly a human characteristic only. That is, it's not a characteristic that could be deemed present in any other living entity, in my opinion. It's a characteristic found in certain humans. Narcissism is where a person, or maybe to a degree in mankind in general, can do no wrong. Or at least they're unable to recognize that they do wrong. They don't seem to have the ability to formulate thoughts that look to having concerns for others, for other people or other organisms. That doesn't fit in their brain. They experience the world as revolving around them and them only. Again, they believe they do no wrong. It's actually a psychiatric abnormality. In other words, it's felt, medically speaking, that narcissism is an example of abnormal thought function, a thought function deficit. It's categorized as such. President Trump, for example, has this disorder, this abnormality called narcissism. However, Trump is not alone in that having this thought abnormality. It seems common enough that we see the consequences of such in many others in our society. Because of the grandioseness that people with narcissism display, we can see it in people doing other grandiose type self-serving actions. For example, Hitler, the current president in Brazil, undoubtedly certain CEOs of large companies and industries, the Koch brothers, and probably, if we look close enough, the killer in the El Paso killings, murders. We, the people, certainly pay the price of such narcissism in when it's in play, when our president has this condition. But we also pay a price as a species on this planet when other people of narcissistic characteristics display grandiose actions in areas of environmental degradation, pesticide distribution and inappropriate use, and tobacco product manufacture, distribution, and marketing. Those are all examples of can do no wrong, caring not about others, caring only for self, and it's a long list. The list is longer. Other factors present in narcissism are present, and you need to hear about it, that we need to think about as well. And this will be obvious to you. Things such as greed. Again, they only care about themselves. Accumulation of great wealth, more than any would ever need. And that accumulation of great wealth at the unfettered expense of others, other humans, and other organisms. That is, at the unfettered expense of other human beings and living organisms and entities. They don't care about those. They care only about themselves. That's the disease of narcissism. We all need to know how narcissism works, what it looks like, how it functions in those around us, in places of authority, such as the president, and other authority positions. And we need to stand up for what we feel is right, including mindfulness of the care of others, protection of ourselves, protection of our environment, and the outlawing of carcinogens present around us for we the people and not for we the industrialized pesticide industries, etc., but we the people. And we need to stand up for full respect for all living organisms that we share this earth with. Again, narcissism is a medical abnormality that our president and many other people have. And we need to know how to deal with that and stand up against it. They're sick. There, and the opinions voiced on this show are not necessarily the president. Okay, I have one thing I want to do now, and that is give you some updates from Butte County Public Health Department. First of all, this time of year, we're entering into the West Nile virus peak time of year. There's been the first documented case earlier this week in Butte County. So the advice, remember, West Nile virus is a virus that can give generalized illness of flu-like symptoms, that is fever, fatigue, tiredness. But the main aside of West Nile virus infection has to do with the fact that it often is has neurologic consequences. In other words, I know the only case I ever had a number of years ago presented with encephalopathy or encephalitis. In other words, infection around the brain and the consequences of that. Anyway, remember, it's a mosquito-passed illness. So the health department advises the three D's. The first D is avoid being outside or where mosquitoes are as best you can from dusk to dawn. So the first D is dusk to dawn. That's the times when the mosquitoes are more likely out. Avoid being around places where they are during those times. The second D of the three Ds is DEET, D-E-E-T, repellent use, is advised as helpful. And then the final D is drain standing water from around your place. If doors and windows are open, it's best to make sure that you have screens on them. And if you have screens on them, make sure that those are intact. You know, that there aren't holes that can allow the mosquitoes to get in. And this brings up a word that that's part of my life, has been for many years, and that's the word duct tape. If I had a screen on my window and it had a hole in it, I'd put a piece of duct tape on probably each side of that hole. There is a website for Butte County Public Health Department relative to West Nile virus information, and that website is ButteWNV.com. So ButteWNV, and WNV is, of course, for West Nile virus. So Butte, ButteWNV.com. And you can get more information about West Nile virus at that public health site on the internet. Second thing that they thought was important information, and I agree, is that I don't know if anybody who's listening to this radio show realizes this, but this is a hot time of year. It's hot outside. And, of course, heat brings on some problems with humans. If we get too hot, we can become fatigued, but we can also become there's heat exhaustion and heat stroke. Heat exhaustion is where you become fatigued, but you start having some functional problems. And heat stroke is where you get so dang hot and dehydrated that your brain stops working correctly. That's what the word stroke means, where your brain is temporarily dysfunctional. So, anyway, to prevent that, the advice, of course, is to stay well hydrated. In other words, drink water. Drink water. And it's so important, I'm going to say it a third time. Drink water. It's very important. Stay well hydrated. And you might say, how do I know if I'm well hydrated or not? And if you asked me that, I would say, well, when you urinate, your urine should be light-colored. All of us. All the time. If your urine is dark, it means you're dehydrated. Our urine gets darker and darker as we get drier and drier. So if when you're urinating, if your urine is pretty light, like close to water or just very light yellow, that means you're doing pretty good. If it's darker, you need to drink more water. And the second point is to stay in a cool place as possible. In other words, don't sit out in the sun. Be in a shady area. Wear cool clothing, not hot clothing. And again, have water availability readily. And that means water to drink and be drinking it, and then putting some water on you to help you cool off. Yes. Relative to a website in the Butte County Public Health Department, relative to, if you wanted more information or advice about that, there's a website relative to heat advice, and that is buttecounty.net/extreme heat. So that website for more information is Butte County, so B-U-T-T-E, county.net/extreme heat. Then the last thing that I want to say about the Butte County Public Health Department is that they have sites on Facebook and Twitter, the Butte County Public Health. You could find them on Facebook and Twitter, which are two things I've never used in my life, so I don't know how to do that. But nonetheless, If you apparently you can look up Butte County Public Health and find various informations and updates there. Well, now what am I going to do? Let's see. Let me back up and talk a little bit more about pesticides and well, shall I do that or let me hang on a minute. Oh, one thing that that I didn't say about pesticides when we were talking about it was something that's become very apparent is that I think we should all know, and that is pesticides over the years have become much more potent. In other words, the pesticides prior to World War II were not potent. They were very different. There were some problems with them, but they were nothing like they are now. They're very damning and toxic currently. They're potent. And that's one point. Second point is that they can accumulate. You already know this. You can accumulate in your system. So small exposures over time are a problem. DDT has pretty much been outlawed in our country. I think it's still present in other parts of the world. But there are plenty of other potent pesticides that need to be avoided. Part of the problem with pesticide availability currently, there's two ways that pesticides enter our environment, your environment. One is industrialized use, in other words, spraying by somebody else, by a vector control person of some sort, or a large agriculture entity spraying orchards or large fields like where I used to live, where I watched them spray by air, and then soon thereafter the tops of some of our trees, our shade trees, were brown. In other words, had killed some of the leaves in the upper reaches of the trees. So that's one thing to avoid and speak about if it is occurring in your area. And then the other one is even worse. And that's when you go to the hardware stores in places like Lowe's, et cetera, Home Depot, and you walk down the aisle of various pesticides, it's gigantic, the availability of those products for everybody to use any way they want, and it's wrong. It's dangerous. It needs to be regulated and stopped. Stopped and or regulated. It's unleashing things that are not appropriate for us in our environment. And remember, I was talking about cancer earlier. If cancer was not a bad thing, it'd be different, but it is. And if cancer wasn't caused by many things that we don't know about, it'd be different. But we don't know about the causes, many of the causes of cancer, and some of the ones we do know about are these pesticides and therefore toxins, and we need to limit their use or have them only be used in a licensed fashion. We need to use other ways to control pests in our environment, and those are some that are spoken about by Rachel Carson in her book Silent Spring. Well, I want to tell you that the Doctor's Inn is made possible by generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Signs and Graphic Design. Your sign is your image, and Signs and Graphic Design takes pride in making you look your best. With over 25 years in the agricultural sign industry, Signs and Graphic Design is dedicated to creating signage that works. Make your sign count by visiting Signs of Chico, signsofchico.com, or call 343-2543, where they love Chico and they love signs. And by Chico Natural Foods Cooperative, Butte County's only community-owned natural and organic grocery store offering a wide variety of organic and local produce, organic groceries, and supplements. The co-op, which is the other way of saying that organization's name, the co-op has fresh, hot food, a salad bar, ready-to-eat sandwiches and salads, plus draft kombucha and cold brew coffee available all day. You can discover the joy of Chico Natural Foods Co-op on the corner of 8th and Main in downtown Chico. It's open 7 in the morning to 10 in the evening, 7 days a week. Let's see. I guess you know already that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Thank you for listening, and I'll be on again in a month, third Thursday of the month, The Doctor's Inn from 6 to 7. Stay tuned for Beatle Nation.
Galileo turned his thoughtful gaze up to the stars. He saw the moons of Jupiter, saw sunspots, and saw Mars. The church said, from this heresy, the people must be spared. But as they prayed, the ground was laid for E equals MC squared. Newton's laws of motion sure helped physics knowledge soar. He then invented calculus so students won't be bored. His laws persisted regally for several hundred years, till one young upstart patent clerk threw a wrench into the gears. E equals MC squared, my boys, E equals MC squared, the boldest declaration anybody ever dared. No matter what we'd done, the world could never be prepared for the man who helped us understand that E equals MC squared. Maxwell showed how light is waves that propagate through space. A substance known as ether was said to permeate the place. Michelson and Morley showed the ether wasn't there. Einstein showed that space and time are joined up everywhere. E equals MC squared, my boys, E equals MC squared, the boldest declaration anybody ever dared. No matter what we'd done, the world could never be prepared for the man who helped us understand that E equals MC squared. Schrodinger's equation shows that particles are waves. To a certain probability, that's how we all behave. But Heisenberg's reality is even more obscure. Both where you are and where you're going, you cannot know for sure. E equals MC squared, my boys, E equals MC squared, the boldest declaration anybody ever dared. No matter what we'd done, the world could never be prepared for the man who helped us understand that E equals MC squared. Your rushing and you're daydreaming and you drive right through a light. When the policeman pulls you over, don't put up a fight.